bad things are going to happen. You know, I'm going to make mistakes. You're going to make mistakes. Our teammates are going to make mistakes. How do we think about that? How fragile is our confidence? Can we build it up and then protect it?
Welcome to the Spartan Up podcast with Joe DeSena, founder and CEO of Spartan Race.
We are talking about overcoming obstacles. The same way we teach people to get over obstacles on the course, we will teach you here on the Spartan Up podcast to get over obstacles in your mind.
Dr. Nate Zinsser, Director of Performance Psychology at West Point and author of The Confident Mind, a battle-tested guide to unshakable performance, joins Joe to talk about confidence and some of the techniques he uses to help high performers.
This episode of Spartan Up is brought to you by Athletic Brewing Company. Their innovative process allows them to brew great-tasting craft beer without the alcohol. New customers can get 10% off their entire order with the code SPARTAN10. Limit one per customer.
Joe DeSena here, CEO and founder of Spartan and the host of the Spartan Up podcast. Today, I got a special one for you. I got Doc Z. This is a performance psychologist. He works at West Point. My wife says I need a performance psychologist, so we got Doc Z here to help me. What is the single most important thing, Doc, to being a high performance individual? Single most important thing. You've worked in the military, you work with people all over the world. What is the one thing that makes a difference?
You gotta have a sense of yourself that is independent of accomplishments, independent of praise, independent of failure. You got to have a sense of who you are, what you got, and what you can bring to the important moments in your life. That personal sense of certainty is something that you got to cultivate and protect, because we live in a world that's going to assault it 24/7.
So I hear often that, you know, when they look at billionaires, many of them are unhappy, whatever you want to say about that, but somehow they've accumulated $1 billion or more dollars. Is there anything we could learn from those individuals? And one thing I heard was they don't really care what other people think. Is that kind of along the lines of what you're saying?
That is definitely related. If you are too sensitive to what other people say about you, think about you, write about you, you're going to lack in that all-important sense of certainty. Now, you can't disregard other people altogether. There's a balance to be struck between caring too much and not caring at all. Unfortunately, and I think this is right along the lines in the point that you're making, Joe, sometimes we tend to care too much. And one of the traits of highly successful people is that at certain points in their day, at certain points in their lives, they're not worried about impressing anybody else. They're just focused on making the deal or lifting the weight or completing the pass. And it's just that engagement in the moment that helps them do that. And if that means they've got to turn off that little voice of, somebody's watching, or 80,000 people are watching in the stadium, or 100 million people are watching on TV, well, that's a really good trait to be able to have. That's a really important skill.
You know, it's funny. I spent some time in Sparta, a lot of time in Sparta, Greece, with the foremost experts that studied whatever they could over the years at Oxford University and Cambridge. And they said, the ancient Spartans didn't focus on legacy. And at that time, 2,500 years ago, lots of people were focused on legacy, what they were going to leave behind. The ancient Spartans said, let's just focus on right now doing a great job. Is that some of it as well?
I think that is some of it, absolutely some of it as well. Let's see how well we can perform. Let's see how well we can execute right now. Walking into an athletic competition, a business deal, an operating room. How good can we be right now? Can we step up to the line of scrimmage and it's late in the game and we're down by 10 points and it's a 3rd and 7? Let's see how well we can do on this particular play. Let's disregard momentarily everything that's gone before. Let's just be here in this moment and have a sense of certainty about our ability to either individually, if it's an individual task, or collectively, if it's a team task, let's execute right here, right now.
You got invited to work with the military. Not a lot of people get to do that. And I guess, I assume, you haven't told me, but I assume they're putting big money into these individuals, these special operators and so forth, and they want to make sure they're performing at the highest level. So when you go in there, are you just measuring where they are? Are you helping? What are you doing?
I wouldn't say I'm doing a whole lot of measuring. I'm just trying to share with them a little bit of the science and a little bit of the, you know, academic discipline of sports psychology. And what I find a lot of times is that these guys, these gals, they're pretty high performers already. They already have a sense of the importance of mindset, the importance of, you know, cultivating personal confidence, but they sure feel reassured to know that what they are doing is supported by social science, and that strengthens their willingness to continue doing risky things and pushing themselves.
I love it. And I guess it could be a mom or a Marine or a monk. I mean, you could apply this stuff to anybody.
I've never used those three M words side by side, but I like that. You know, moms need a lot of confidence. They face problems hour by hour. Monks, absolutely. You are disciplined to maintain a very strict lifestyle. Every martial art that's practiced around the world today basically had its origin or went through a significant evolutionary phase with the influence of monastic disciplines in India and China, and certainly Marines. Okay, you have almost a monastic existence, and you are called upon to put yourself in danger. You got to be pretty certain about yourself and about your equipment and about the guy, gal to the left and the right of you. You also have to have a little bit of certainty in the plan, in the scheme, in the mission parameters. All of that goes into execution at challenging moments.
All right, so Doc, I know the attributes now that you're telling me this confidence, this unwavering confidence and believing in yourself. But how do we, I'm looking at my 16-year-old last night, we had dinner, it was my birthday, and we had dinner, and I'm always looking at the children, we have four children, I was looking at my 16-year-old saying, gee, he's getting close to that age where he leaves the nest. Does he have enough confidence? Does he have enough ability? Have I done my job? How do you acquire this?
That's really the million-dollar question now, isn't it? How do you acquire it and how do you hang on to it? The unfortunate misconception is that a person's confidence is a function of how well they have done, how much positive feedback they've received. The misconception is that confidence is really a function of all the things that have happened to us. I take a very different position on that. I contend that confidence is not so much what happens to you, but how you think about what happens to you. What do you learn and take away from and extract, if you will, from all the various experiences that you've had? I don't know your son's personal history at all. He could have been, up to this point in his life, very successful in school, in sports, socially, etc., etc. But the conclusions that he draws about himself from all those experiences, those conclusions are where he's going to get his confidence. Now, certainly it's great to have successful experiences throughout your life. But those successful experiences in and of themselves don't necessarily create confidence. It's what you tell yourself about those experiences. It's how you process, and I use the term filtering from your various experiences, the thoughts and the memories that create energy and optimism and enthusiasm for yourself. That's the task that all of us face, to look at our experience and basically filter it, distill it, extract from it the memories and the thoughts that can make us feel more certain about ourselves. There are plenty of very high-performing people who don't necessarily have a whole lot of confidence because of their many successful experiences, they don't tend to remember them. Instead, they spend most of their mental life focused on their failures and their setbacks and their difficulties. Conversely, there's some other people who haven't had, objectively speaking, a ton of success, but their mind is really effective in terms of bringing in with it the relatively few instances of success and progress that they have had. Hence, their confidence is pretty high, surprisingly. So what I'm teaching people is to look for the best in yourself, be your own best friend, as well as being your own harshest critic. And as you manage those thoughts about your past, as you manage those stories that you tell yourself about yourself in the present, and as you manage that video and photo studio in your imagination, you manage the pictures and the video clips about your future. And it's that whole process of management that ultimately produces confidence.
But in the example of the young kid, you know, the 16-year-old or 14-year-old, 12-year-old, they've got some wins, they've got some losses. How do we hack it?
We'll be right back to the interview. But first, a little bit from Athletic Brewing Company, today's sponsor. You don't have to choose between an ice-cold beer after a race and your health, thanks to Athletic Brewing Company. Athletic Brewing Company's innovative process allows them to brew great-tasting craft beers without the alcohol, from IPAs to stouts to golden ales and more. They offer a full selection of beers, starting at only 50 calories, so you can keep your head clear and enjoy the refreshing taste of beer anytime and anywhere. And they're part of a program called Two for the Trails. For every product purchased, Athletic Brewing Company donates 2% of sales to protecting and restoring local trails. They're pioneering a craft brew revolution. You don't have to sacrifice being your best to enjoy a great brew. In fact, check out their website to see a list of awards that their beers have won. Check your local store, but if you can't find it, they'll ship it. Place an order at athleticbrewing.com. And you can get free shipping on 2 6-packs or more. And new customers can save 10% off the entire order with the code SPARTAN10. Limit one per customer.
In the example of the young kid, you know, the 16-year-old or 14-year-old, 12-year-old, they've got some wins. They've got some losses. How do we hack it? How do we, you don't want to give so much praise that, they don't have a true picture of what's really going on, but you don't want to give no praise. So, and then what if the kid doesn't have a mom or a dad? Like how does that kid do it?
Hopefully that kid acquires a mentor or two along the way. Hopefully there's a teacher, a coach, uncle, older brother, somebody who can help that kid develop a little certainty about him or herself. In response to your question about all praise versus no praise, all criticism versus no criticism, again, it's a balancing act. The ratio that I use in a lot of my teaching, because I deal with high-performing people who are highly motivated, highly committed, and they tend to be rather overcritical of themselves. I tell them, you better be looking every day for an episode of quality effort that you put in. You better be looking every day for a little example of a small success, something that you got right. You better be looking every day for some indication of progress toward your goals, toward your dreams. And then you better also be looking every day, okay, what do I have to get after next? Where do I have to put work and effort into tomorrow? So you got the effort, you got the success, you got the progress. You also got what's important next. There's that little bit of self-criticism. So E for effort, S for success, P for progress, N for next. ESPN. Most people can remember that.
I like that a lot. And so that's, so basically you should pull out your journal every night, every morning, first, and just do a quick, basically measure, measure.
An honest reflection of the day that you just completed to help you move forward into tomorrow. And it's that kind of, as I've put it before, filtering, extracting from your experiences the memories, the thoughts that supply a sense of energy, supply a sense of enthusiasm. Where'd you put in good effort? Come on. Where did you get past some procrastination? Where did you get down and do that extra set? What did you succeed in? What little thing did you get right? What did you learn today in your advanced thermodynamics class that can make you just a little more certain about your ability to do well on the upcoming midterm exam? What are you making progress in? And what are you hungry to get after next? So it's not a nothing but praise, nothing but criticism process. It's a balancing act. I tend to be looking at the constructive stuff, effort, success, progress, and then you look constructively at what can I get after tomorrow.
I love it, Doc. And I would imagine, you tell me, but I would imagine if you do your ESPNs every day, in that moment of reflection, probably do it in 5 minutes.
Oh, very quick and dirty. Absolutely.
And in those 5 minutes, you start to build like building blocks each day. Like, all right, tomorrow I'm going to put a little more effort. And before you know it, when you reflect back, you're like, oh my God, just the act of reviewing the ESPNs is getting me moving a little harder, a little more forward.
Absolutely. You talk about building blocks. I refer to it as a mental bank account. You're putting money in the bank every day by doing this kind of quality reflection. So that means come midterm time, come game day, come the time when you got to make that presentation or close that deal, you've got some reasons to believe in yourself. And a quick glance back at that journal, ooh, that's kind of like checking your bank book, man. You know, like they say on the TV commercial, what's in your wallet? Well, if you've been putting stuff in your bank account, you open it up, say, okay, I got reasons to believe. I think I'm enough for this task.
And in the act of doing the ESPNs, over time, maybe you don't need that third-party confirmation. Is that the idea?
It's always good when you get it, and there's nothing wrong with recording in your journal. Yeah, I got a compliment from Coach on my execution on this play. Or, yeah, hey, I got a 98% on that pop quiz. There's nothing wrong with journaling that. There's nothing wrong with taking that in. But ultimately, it's your responsibility to take credit for that. It's your responsibility to look at yourself. You can't depend upon all that outward positive feedback. It's great when you can get it, but you don't depend on it.
So, Doc, not everybody gets positive feedback, right? I mean, there's some negative feedback. There's a lot of curmudgeons out there maybe that aren't patting you on the back. What do you do then?
Well, this is where you've got to protect that bank account from criminals, from the thieves who would rob you. There's two strains of thought that I put in the book. One is that you've got to be very good at responding to the inevitable setbacks, difficulties, obstacles, and disappointments that you are going to experience, because we live in an imperfect world where things don't always go right. You've got to be able to look at a mistake that you made as temporary. It happened, but it just happened at one time. You got to look at that mistake as limited in where it occurred. Yeah, it happened, but it happened just in that situation, just in that place. And third, you got to look at it as non-representative, non-indicative of who you are, what you can do, and how far you can go. You got to maintain that kind of perspective, temporary, limited, non-representative, when things happen to you. And then you got to be very good at identifying your own self-generated negativity. Uh-oh, I'm in trouble. I'm not good at this. What's the matter with me today? You got to be able to recognize that stuff and basically talk back to it, shut that voice up, and replace it with the memory of effort, success, and progress that you've been developing with all this journaling. So you have to be able to build up that bank account, and then you got to be able to close the door on it so that the criminals and thieves can't sneak into it and rob it.
And then, you know, I grew up in a tough neighborhood where there were a lot of criminals and thieves. Today, with social media, they're everywhere.
They are everywhere. Yeah.
And so I like that idea of building up the bank account, and maybe the ESPN Journal is like having a Brinks truck protect the money, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, the protection is your own thoughts about it. Okay, bad things are going to happen. You know, I'm going to make mistakes. You're going to make mistakes. Our teammates are going to make mistakes. How do we think about that? How fragile is our confidence? Can we build it up and then protect it?
I love it. Hey, Doc, you wrote a book about all this. For those that want to go deeper, what's the name of the book?
The name of the book is The Confident Mind. And in that book, I explain what confidence is and isn't. I explain many different methods of building it, daily ESP being one of them. I explain the methods for protecting it, that temporary, limited, non-representative. And then I present some methods of how to sort of, you know, inspect your wallet when a performance is coming up so that you can bring out that sense of certainty when you need it for that recital, for that game, for that presentation, for that examination, for that interview. And then I present some methods for reviewing your performance so that you can extract all the proper nuggets from it, set your sights on your next performance, and move forward progressively.
I remember years ago there was a swimmer. I don't recall his name, but he was up on the starting blocks, and he was not the favorite at all. He hadn't competed in all the big events that year that others had. And the cameras caught his face as he looked to the left and he looked to the right. And he ended up winning it. And the cameras came up to him afterwards and said, "What were you doing on the starting blocks looking?" He said, "I was reviewing all the training I had done the last 4 years. And I said, nobody to my right and nobody to my left has trained as hard as I have. I got this.
Yeah. He concluded from his reflection on his training that he was enough, that he was the guy to beat. And any swimmer stepping up to the blocks basically has to make that same determination. You've got to decide that I have done either more than anybody else, or I have done enough. I have done enough. I'm ready. If you don't think that you're the best swimmer in your heat, if you don't think that you're the best wrestler when the two of you step onto the mat, then you automatically just gave your opponents an advantage. You just gave that wrestling opponent of yours, you know, 2 to 4 points. You just gave those swimming opponents of yours a second or two head start. It's your responsibility to yourself. It's your responsibility to your teammates to have that determination, to make that call about yourself, to step up and execute with certainty.
I love it, Doc. I'm more confident. I was lacking some confidence till I did this with you, so I'm feeling pretty good right now. I might go do something big right now.
Knowing what little I know about your history, boss, I think the sky's pretty much the limit, you know? I mean, any guy who's nutty enough to walk around the world with a 35-pound kettlebell, you know, I mean, come on.
It was 42.
Oh, it was 42? Oh, excuse me.
You're awesome, Doc. Thanks for coming on. Good luck with the book, and I can't wait to do some stuff together.
Do you know someone who needs a little help staying motivated, staying informed, getting or staying mentally and physically resilient? We're here 3 days every week with a mix of content to help you stay strong. From mindset to nutrition and everything in between. Listen every Tuesday to hear Joe DeSena, Spartan Race founder and CEO. And the rest of the week, join us for DECA, Endurance, and Classic episodes. See you next time. This episode of Spartan Up is brought to you by Athletic Brewing Company. Their innovative process allows them to brew great-tasting craft beer without the alcohol. New customers can get 10% off their entire order with the code SPARTAN10. Limit one per customer.